Welcome everybody to our online session today on this beautiful Sunday. Well, at least here in Burma, in Tienza, where I am, it's nice and sunny and warmer than in the past few days. So we will start this session as usual with the sharing. Anybody of you who is inclined to share something about their experiences, please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. I wanted to share about that yesterday I met one of my difficult persons, and I felt something else in my heart when I met her. She's the same, but I felt in my heart it was lighter, softer, more open. So it was so much easier actually to be together for that while when we met yesterday. And I'm very grateful to see these results from my practice. So thank you.
Thank you, Maria. Now there is Keith. Also,
I would just like to say that I'm finding the impact on my meditation from the metta quite marked. It's much deeper in my body, my connection to my whole body. But the metta phrases are still there, so it feels like I'm doing vipassana. But the metta is up at the top of it very strongly. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Then we have Michelle.
Hi. I wanted to share, yesterday I was in nature and I was radiating metta to all the devic beings and all the nature beings around the world and all the beings that I met. And then the bubble came up from the river like that. And I don't know where it came from, but it was really, I've never seen something like that. And it passed me and it went around and there was like a green light in it. And then it swirled around and it passed towards the mountains. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. And the energy was so amazing as I was doing that. So it was really an incredible experience. I'm so grateful for this practice.
Thank you, Michelle. Claudia, please.
Yesterday I radiated metta to all children and I had a big smile and it was really warm-hearted. And then I radiated metta to all women and there was, you know, this was with a lot of heart. And then I tried to radiate metta to all men, and then I became aware of how much anger I have about men, looking at the violence that's done in the world in many, many, many forms, and the oppression of women. And then I thought, how can I idiot metta to man. And then it was very helpful to say, anyway, from Ayana, anyway, and I do this now. And with this, I hold it both. There's more and more coming up in my mind, reasons why I'm really disgusted or angry about the violence that come from men on political, structural, homemade, all this. And I now can use my sentence. And I'm aware I'm doing this for my heart. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Claudia.
Hi. Yesterday I had to go to a department store, and I found it quite hard. And instead of radiating metta to all the people in the department store, I had to change to protect myself because I felt fear. And unfortunately, I forgot the main reason why I went to the department store, so I had to go back today. And today was completely different. And I enjoyed seeing everybody and could feel relaxed.
Thank you, Bridget. Somebody else? Yes, please, Trin.
It's developed in some other ways. When I face with the emotion and feel very frustrated, and so I say the karuna, the compassion for myself, and it was I find so peaceful, and the mind just came down, and after that I say the karuna for all beings. I can see many kind of suffering the people can have, and after that I remember that you said about the mudita to see how the see the success and because in the past I have a habit to press. When I, after success and the marketing another goal, another target, and always like this. So now okay, see the feel the how many happiness I have, not to think about the next, but see how I have essence of my feel so joyful, and after that I decide the mudita for OBG, and the joyfulness is bigger, and can say I can feel so okay. I can happy with the success of other people. So it was, but after that the joyful bigger and the mind Prince Liza, Mr. John Pools. So maybe today I can try to have Upekha to make my kingdom. And I hope that I can see some Upekha for anyone. I think I can write it like this.
Thank you, Trin. So with this, I hand over to Aya Viranyani, who will share her reflections on metta and then guide the meditation.
Thank you, sister. I so appreciate all your sharings, here and in the smaller groups. And this time of the retreats is so valuable and powerful. Having created a flow of metta, having cultivated a habit of metta for individuals, we begin to move out into the world. We begin to expand the scope of the metta that we're radiating. And we begin to see its nature more and more clearly. The chant, the English translation of the chant that we do, you know, the four boundless states, has a list of words that I really love. You know, it says boundless, exalted, immeasurable. And we begin to get the flavor of this as we expand the scope of the metta to include more and more beings. At first, when we read this phrase or chant these lines, we think, oh, wow, what could that possibly be? Boundless, exalted, immeasurable. We can try to imagine it, but it feels so huge. So unreachable. And we've spoken about the nature of metta as not having boundaries, is another way of expressing those same qualities. So we might ask ourselves, what is that? What does that mean in our experience, very practically? As opposed to what we might imagine ahead of time. And you're beginning, all of you, to get a deeper and deeper sense of that. Some of you have practiced a lot of metta bhavana, are getting that understanding more and more deeply. For some of you, this is more new. And just as an aside, I would say it applies to any meditative experience that we might imagine of any kind, whether it's a vipassana experience, a metta experience. You know, whether we hear pure boundless metta or we hear about nibbana, or insight, or any kind of meditative experience. We might imagine what that's like, but it's never in reality what we think ahead of time. Imagination is just an idea of what we kind of dream up. It's like, well, what would that feel like? We don't know until we begin to have that experience. So what does boundless, exalted, immeasurable really mean in experience? We can imagine ahead of time what that is. But as a number of you have expressed in various ways, it's always a surprise. These experiences come, we say in English, out of the blue. Not only can we not imagine them, but we can't create them either. They just happen. Because we've created it over the course of these days, the conditions for them to arise by themselves. And one thing that I find very interesting, especially with the metta, is strong experiences of metta, or experiences of really profound metta, are usually simpler, quieter, less special, quote unquote, as an experience than whatever we imagined. But no less profound for that. No less life-changing for that. Just because they're not some, you know, wow. They can be very, very quiet and very simple. And so what people shared, what all of you have shared in the last days, there's a lot of sharing about the boundlessness of metta. People speaking of a heart and mind that is quiet, bright, collected, open. Experiences of inclusiveness. All beings included in this heart of metta, or just moving through this heart. How trying to radiate metta for different categories, how that didn't make sense anymore because they were all equal. And what Bridget shared this morning, you know, they can be very simple and mundane. How you go to a department store one day and you're overwhelmed because it's so, oh, there's a lot of fear that comes up. And then you go the next day and you really actually are open to people. We don't think of these as special experiences, but they actually are. They might not be, you know, the stuff of imagination, but they're quite profound. We've spoken in our talks and in our reflections about how metta is the antidote to dosa, how it breaks down the barriers between beings in our heart, those barriers internally that are constructed, that get in the way of connection, that get in the way of open-hearted, friendly care and benevolence. Language is funny because I think, you know, breaking down the barriers, it feels almost like demolition. You get kind of a violent, like, you know, a wrecking ball. It's not like that. It's more like dissolving. Or just vanishing. Sometimes it can happen so quickly. There's, you know, an experience of some strong dosa instantly replaced. It's like there's just this vanishing of the barriers. And it can feel like the sun coming out from behind a cloud. It's like, wow. It in the Visuddhimagga, there's quite a confronting metaphor of what metta is like, this boundlessness of metta, where there are no barriers. Asking us to imagine being on a walking journey with our benefactor, our dear friend, our neutral person, our difficult person. And being at a crossroads and being confronted by bandits who attack us, surround us, say, okay, we need a blood sacrifice, and they turn to you and say, who do you choose? I'll give you a little while, you choose which one of you will take away. So do you give up yourself? It's like, oh, okay, I'll just give myself up for all these people. Do you have a moment of inner kind of, whew, maybe I'll just let my enemy go. Do you imagine, oh, the neutral person, I don't know them, so never mind, they can go. No, none of these, of course. What pure metta is you turning to the guy with the machete and saying, I can't choose, they're all the same. We're all the same. Equal. And that's the boundlessness of metta. So when you have that experience of, these categories, they just don't make any sense anymore. It just feels the same for everybody. This is the purity of metta. You're not doing anything wrong when that happens. Some people think their practice has fallen back when that experience arises, but actually no. That evenness is the balanced heart of metta, where there's no difference, where the mind doesn't go to aversion, no matter how mild, towards somebody, or attraction, no matter how mild, towards somebody. There's no clinging. And this speaks to that quality of metta that is a lot like the equanimity, that is a form of equanimity, but it's also feels like in our experience a lot like the kind of equanimity we can have in a Vipassana practice, where the mind is just still, unmoving, unwavering. But it's different because this is a relational practice. And what the heart doesn't do is go to any other being with preference or aversion. Just rests in the middle, happy, at peace. This is not, I mean, this is a very pleasant experience, but it's not dramatic. It's not emotional. Boundless, exalted, immeasurable in our experience is actually much quieter and more commonplace than we can imagine, but no less peaceful for that. It's just rest. And it's not changed in any way when we get when we face difficulties internally or externally. When people do or say things that are difficult externally. And internally, no matter what arises for us, no matter what affliction, fear, judgment, because we, you know, we're human beings and we don't always rest in that perfection of balance. But no matter what arises that, you know, habitually brings us out of balance, there's still a kind, gentle, patient attention. We don't block or resist the experience. We can hold it with kindness, hold ourselves with kindness, no matter what comes our way. There's not discouragement, there's not judgment. We can allow the world to be just as it is. And it's okay for us to be just as we are. We're not trying to be somebody different or more perfect. We don't have a fixed view of who we should be. I love at the end of the Metta Sutta where it says, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one is not born again into this world, or actually literally into a womb. And that speaks to what Saito was saying is the last benefit of metta. If you cultivate deep metta with deep concentration, if you are having this experience as you die, you'll be reborn in a Brahma realm. So you're not reborn into a body if you hold that cosmological framework. But we're also not reborn into the next moment with greed, with aversion. This is no small thing, even though it can feel very subtle. Saito spoke about metta air conditioning. And if you think back to your experiences on this retreat, as it's deepened, to some of the challenges, it's just like the heat in a room. It's just like, oh, it's hot in here. But when we cultivate metta with that patient persistence, it gets cooler, and we don't often really know when the heat went away, except we notice it gone. And what replaces the dosa is just love for the world. Including ourselves. So no matter what arises in this practice, we just have to keep walking. We just have to keep going. And this is the inevitable result of that patient, persistent walking. So I'd like to close my reflection with that. and go into our sitting today. Another flavor of radiating metta for smaller groups of beings ending up with all beings. And this is a form I particularly love. I think it's my favorite kind of mental practice to do when I'm sitting. It's radiating metta in the directions, various directions. And in that chant, the Four Boundless States, I will abide pervading the four quarters with the mind of beauty, the first, the second, the first, for the fourth. This is a reference to the four cardinal directions, north, south, east, west, above, below, and all around. It gets to in the end. And we'll do this. And what we'll do is an abbreviated version of this, because we have 35 minutes, which isn't that much time. But in your own practice, you can take an hour and go through the eight cardinal directions. So north, northeast, east, southeast, south, etc. All eight of them go through that sequence, and then above and below, and that's 10 different categories of beings, and then all beings. So if you spent 5 minutes on that, that's more than an hour of practice. 5 minutes on each of those, I mean. As I say, we won't be doing that. We'll just be doing the four cardinal directions, above, below, and then all around, ending up at all beings. So, taking a deep breath, finding that relaxed, comfortable posture, where you can be at ease. Taking a moment to simply connect with yourself. Connect with the heart. With its light of metta, resting there for a moment for yourself, and now turning that light of metta and opening to all beings in the northern direction, north of you, wherever you are. Or if you are not, or if you're directionally challenged, just in front of you. Like a lighthouse, just open in that direction, and whatever beings are out there to the north or in front of you, may all those beings, whoever they are, wherever they are, be well, happy, peaceful. Out into the vastness of space, just in that direction. Thank you. again and again and again, in the same way as you did for yourself or a single being. Coming back to this well-wishing for all beings in the North. Some beings that are specific may come to mind, beings you know in that direction, or can imagine in that direction. It's okay, just let them come and go. Maintaining that inclination to well-wishing for all beings in that direction. Letting these single beings be the representatives for a single moment or two of everybody in that direction. And now turning this beam of metta light to all beings in the eastern direction, or to your right. Obviously not turning your body, but just inclining to that direction. Near and far, to beings known and unknown. May all beings in the East. Be well, happy, peaceful. May they be safe and protected from harm, or whatever your phrase is. And now, slowly inclining, turning this metta light to the south, and continuing to radiate metta in the same way, using the same phrase, to all beings in the south. May all beings in the southern direction be at ease. And now inclining the heart and the light of metta to all beings in the western direction. And now, inclining to all beings above us, in the upper direction, beings close to us in the building we might be in, above us, all the way out into the vastness of space, beings known and unknown, with forms or without forms. and now turning the heart and the mind to all beings below you, in the lower direction. Under your house, in the earth, the other side of the earth from where you are, wherever that happens to be, you don't have to know exactly. Out into space, below you. May all beings in the lower direction be well and happy. And now, without barrier or choosing, opening up to all beings in all realms and in all directions, taking this light of metta and just shining it out in all directions, above, below, all around. Allowing it to go out by itself. And as we come to the end of the sitting, not right now, in a few moments, see if you can maintain this inclination to metta for all beings as you open your eyes. Sit up, move the body. Maintaining this well-wishing. From the sitting to the walking to daily activities, may all beings be happy. Thank you for your practice, everybody. So for the next 24 hours, please feel free to explore this form of practice. See how it feels for you in the formal sitting. It's harder to do in the walking, but in the formal sitting, you can go through the 4 or 8 directions above, below, and all around. And it's just this beautiful opening of heart that can happen to beings known and unknown, near and far. In the walking meditation, the formal walking back and forth, it's a little harder to do this. If you have a good sense of where north is, you can do that in the walking, north, south, east, west, above, below. Or in the walking, because you're going back and forth, you can just radiate metta in a beam in front of you. And then as you turn at the end of the walking lane and go in the other direction, stop, pause. Really feel that turning and then go in the other direction. If you maintain the metta through the turning and in each direction, the metta will be going in all the cardinal directions. And then towards the end of the walking period, you can go to above and then below and then to all around in all directions. And this radiating metta, like beaming it out in front of you, is something you can do in a regular, when you go for a walk or happen to have to go out for any reason. Especially if you make a loop walk, like you go around a block in a city or a loop in the forest. Continuing to radiate metta in front of you, everybody out there, and you'll touch all beings everywhere in all 4 or 8 directions when you do that. And as usual in the general activities, if you want to rest with all beings everywhere without exception, or different groups of beings that are more specific and more appropriate, like you're with a bunch of people, all beings in this room, feel free to do that too. Just allowing yourself to play with the form. It's just, this is such a flexible, beautiful practice. So don't worry too much about doing it right. I would say don't worry at all about doing it right. What matters is that you do it. So thank you, everybody, for your practice. And I'll turn us over now to Aria, who will answer your questions and guide us in the chanting today.
Thank you, sister. So now the space is open for you to ask your questions. Yes, Claudia, please.
What is what you mentioned from the themes above directing it upward?
So this can be any visible, invisible being that is above you. So you know, above you, that starts here, just above your head. So maybe in your room, maybe there is a fly buzzing around, or maybe there is a spider at the ceiling, or maybe above you in the upper floor, somebody else is living there. So that could be that person, this family, or a bird flying over your house, all the insects out there in the air. Maybe sometimes an aeroplane is flying above your house. So all the people in that aeroplane, and maybe, you know, a space shuttle turning around the Earth, people in there. And then all the invisible beings that exist, but that we normally do not see with our eyes. You know, this could be the heavenly beings, the devas, or the brahmas, or it could be any other invisible being, yeah, that we are not aware of, that we do not see, but who might exist out there. So, you know, take this in a way that makes sense to you or that you can relate to. Do not kind of think too much, you know, who are these invisible beings, you know, I don't really know. So stay with that which is logical to you or makes sense to you.
Can I ask, for me, my mother is, you know, I relate in this direction, or my teacher passed away, so people who are not living anymore, not living beings, but this is where I open
to that. Yes. Yes. You know, people who have passed away, I think one question was already in this regard, and Ayaviranyani has said, you know, it is possible to include beings who have passed away in our metta, because unless they have been completely enlightened and, you know, attained parinibbana, they are reborn somewhere, are in a different plane of existence. And yeah, where is that? And so, you know, you can include them if you wish in the direction above, or, you know, all around, in whatever direction they are. May they too be happy and well. Then I see Michelle's hand is up, please.
Hi, one more time. I just wanted to share because that just made me so happy right now. I opened my eyes after radiating metta to all the beings in the south direction, and there was a squirrel coming to my window and looked into it. And I really struggle, radiating metta to all the beings. So I was rather doing all the nature beings and all the devas. And there she was. So now I have a big push of it. So I'm so grateful how it works when we struggle and then something comes and just gives us more inspiration. So just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle, for this sharing. That's fine. Is there another question around? Yes, Anna.
Thank you. It's a question about what you talked about yesterday in the Dharma talk about the Brahma Viharas. And I was wondering, I can consciously practice metta. I can do that with Karuna and Mudita as well. And I was wondering, can you also consciously practice upekkha, or is that a state that arises from your practice doing the other three states? Or is there a way to consciously practice upekkha?
Yes, thank you, Anna, for this question. The four Brahma Viharas, as you say, as you know, these are four qualities of the heart and mind that we consciously can cultivate and strengthen or deepen. And metta, you know how to do it. Karuna is, you know, basically the metta that turns to suffering. So it's this compassion and the wish to relieve suffering. Mudita is turning metta to people's beings' success, doing well, so rejoicing, feeling glad about their success, their good health, their fortunate situation. And upekkha, equanimity, is also a quality of the heart and mind that we also can cultivate in the same way as we could, as we can do metta or karuna or mudita. And as a separate or a distinct form of practice, it has the same approach as the other Brahma Viharas, you know, where we take a certain wish or phrase that expresses this quality of the heart. And so upekkha being equanimity or a balanced state of mind, you know, it's this evenness of mind in regard to whatever the situation is in us, around us, in the world. And so upekkha, you know, also arises based on the understanding of cause and effect, or karma, intentional actions and their effects. So what, especially whatever happens to us or other people or the beings, there has been certain conditions and causes that have brought up this situation, this experience. And so then it's understanding that there were causes and conditions that brought up a certain experience. So we understand, you know, there is some I'm spacing the word. So we understand, you know, it's based on these causes and conditions. Things are as they are, based on their conditions. So, you know, the phrases for the upekkha practice, for example, you know, on page 6, where we have this chant, the Metta Karuna Mudita Upekkha, there are two sentences mentioned. All beings have karma as their true property. Or, you know, in the chant on page 7, you have more phrases expressing this upekkha attitude. You know, all beings are the heirs of their actions, are related to their actions. Or, going back to page 6 at the bottom, things are as they are. You know, that's based on understanding. It's not indifference, you know, and just kind of lightly saying, oh yeah, things are as they are. But that really comes from a deep understanding. And so the mind can stay balanced. And upekkha, you know, usually comes into place when the other three Brahma Viharas cannot be applied. You know, when it's impossible or too difficult to dwell in metta, when it's impossible or very difficult to dwell in compassion or in sympathetic joy, gladness, instead of falling into some negativity, then it's possible to dwell in upekkha. Upekkha also being a wholesome state of mind. And usually, you know, one can resort to upekkha when really terrible things happen in this world. For example, right now, you know, the war between Russia and Ukraine, so many terrible things happening there, or Israel and Palestine. So instead of getting upset and angry at either party or what has been done, dwell in upekkha, in a balanced state of mind. But it doesn't mean passivity, not doing anything. One still can engage in actions, taking actions, but then they do not come out of anger or, you know, or hatred or revenge, but they come out of a balanced, wholesome state of mind. And with that, one can also see more clearly what appropriate action can be taken.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And there is Vicky with a question.
Someday I'll get it right. I get sort of, I don't know what the word is, I struggle with what beings are. And I wonder, part of me wonders whether it really matters. And I guess if I just give you an example of the way my mind sees things, and so bacteria beings, viruses beings, all those small things that inhabit the world with us and are really important for us, are they beings? Are trees beings? It doesn't matter.
Yes. You know, in the first chant, page 1 on top, we have these different expressions of sabbepanna, sabbesatta, sabbepanna, all living beings, all breathing beings, all creatures, all individuals, all personalities. And these five expressions actually denote the same thing, any living being. So here the Buddha just used kind of five different ways of, you know, trying to include all living beings. And I think, you know, for the cultivation of metta, this quality in our heart and mind, I would say for most of the people, it doesn't really matter so much, you know, to have an all-inclusive, maybe scientific explanation of what that means. You know, that could get us too much into the head and, you know, hair splitting, is that the being or not or whatever. But, you know, it depends on me, what kind of I include as living being.
So I can let it slide and not worry, just let it go where it goes.
Yes, I would say.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So with this, I want to go to the chants. And there has been a request that we also chant the homage to the Buddha and the refugees. We have sent out, you know, the sheets or a file with metta chants. We have also sent you the file with the homage to refugees and the precepts. And somehow, you know, in this retreat, we haven't gone there so far. If the retreat takes place here at the center, you know, then it's usually Sayadaw Uindaka who is leading in, you know, taking the refugees and the precepts. And, you know, somehow we have just left it to you, those of you who care about that. Maybe you have, you know, chanted it, taken up the precepts, be it the 5 or the 8, 9, by yourself. Here in Burma, you know, people, lay people at home usually recite the homage to refugees and taking the precepts every day in front of their home shrine. So anyway, somebody has requested that we do chant the homage and the refugees, and so we'll do that right now. So we do it in Pali and start with the Namo Tassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddham saranam gacchami, Dhammam saranam gacchami, Sangham saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami, Dutiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami, Tatiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami. And to end this session, I want to do the Frida on top of the page 6. We'll do it a number of times, and you can do it as a canon if you wish. Beginn. Frieda wünsch ich mir und Frieda wünsch ich dir. Frieda für euch alle und der ganze Wald. Frieda wünsch ich mir und Frieda wünsch ich dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Wald. Frieda wünsch ich mir und Frieda wünsch ich dir. Und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsch ich mir und Frieda wünsch ich dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsch ich mir und Frieda wünsch ich dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt.
So today, there are again the smaller interview groups. It's group E with Ayavira Nyani and group B with myself in 15 minutes from now. So may there be peace for all of us and all living beings wherever they are. Bye-bye.